everybody. We're going to begin with some introductions before we bring our first agenda items. And just as a very gentle and simple icebreaker, if you could mention your name and how long you think you've been working for or volunteering for the city. Again, my name is Mark Sancisco. I'm the city council. I think I started volunteering in 2006, which takes me about 13 years.
Hi, I'm Ann Snyder. I have been volunteering probably for about 4 years with URAC and then a year with this group.
Doug Nicky, I've about 10 years with the city.
Jude Hughes, I think it's probably 5 or 6 years now.
Lacey Beatty, I probably should know that, but I think since 2010, so 9 years.
Mandy Bama, I think it's about 5 or 6 years for me.
Luckily, I remember that I started when I earned it, so I'd say four. Oh, she loves it.
All permanent, 11 years.
Susan Cole, I'm staff. I've been here for 6 months.
Josh Correa, I've been staff for 4 years.
Okay, it's Petro, staff here for about 6 years.
Tyler Harrison, I think it's been almost 21.
Whoa. good evening, Cheryl Tweedy, and I've just hit my 5-year anniversary mark here at the City of Beaverton.
Dave Waffle, Assistant Finance Director, coming up on 8 years.
Peter Livingston, City Attorney's Office, between 4 and 5 years.
I'm Dave Zatner, I'm new to Beaverton, and I come from Seattle, and I was the Vice Provost at the University of Washington.
Scott Winter, if you count my Neighborhood Association chairmanship, it was 1998, I think.
Danny Doyle with the city. I started volunteering in 1991.
Mark Fagan with the city council. I think it was 2008.
Then I revised mine. That was 2009. That was what
I was hoping to go this way.
Jennifer Nye, it's been about 10 years.
Roy Kim, a few years.
Dominic B.G., Sister Cities was my first community. I think it's 1984, but I probably wrong, but somewhere.
Kay Arnold, I originally volunteered with the Beaverton Committee for Community and Planning. I met Scott in 1998. That was, but I started in 1995.
And I'm Vanessa Vicko. I have Cole. we'll pop on the microphone. If you count my school committee years since 2005, otherwise,
your
active bureau since
inception. Well, my official job tonight is to make sure that we elect a chair and vice chair for the Bureau Budget Committee. Would anyone who is a voting member care to make nominations for chair and for vice chair?
Wait, who's a voting member? Just not the staff?
Not the staff, okay. That's correct.
could I nominate as chair Ann Snyder?
We have a nomination for chair, Ann Snyder. Any other nominations for chair? Uncontested election? May we appoint Ann Snyder chair by acclamation? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, nominations for vice chair.
May I also nominate, and I actually checked with them, I checked with both of them. Especially that, because she can reach me. But for vice chair, I'd like to nominate Mandy Bawa.
We have a nomination for Mandy Bawa. Any other nominations for vice chair? And again, an uncontested election. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? All right, we have a chair and vice chair.
Thank you. So the first order of business would be to approve the minutes from May 14th, 2018. Do I have anyone who would like to motion to approve? Okay, Paul?
I motion to approve the minutes for 2018-2019.
Any second?
Second.
Any discussion of the minutes? Okay.
Yeah, who was that second?
Lacey.
Lacey here. Sorry. Okay, do we have a vote for the minutes to be approved? All ayes.
Sheila.
Okay, do we have any visitors tonight? No visitor comments? Okay, moving along. The budget committee discussion now. If we can have a presentation from staff.
Good evening, Cheryl Tweedy, Bureau Executive Director. It's a pleasure to be with you again, here again this year. Tyler is currently passing out a copy of the PowerPoint presentation that we'll be discussing this evening. But I think a few of the slides will be a little bit easier to see when you have it in your hand rather than looking at the big screen up there. It's really a pleasure to be with you, here with you this evening, because the upcoming year for Bureau is going to be a significant liftoff year. We are at a pretty amazing point in the life of the Urban Renewal District, and I hope you're as excited as we as staff are about the projects and activities that we're proposing to undertake next year. So I'd like to take a few minutes and briefly go over accomplishments of the past year, really showcasing those things that are direct city projects as well as those that are private investment projects by our partners. And then when I'm done, I will turn it over to Dave Waffle, and he will give you an overview of the budget from the finance department perspective. So Bureau is entering its seventh year of operation, and our activities are fairly broad-based at this point in time. I want to thank the Bureau Board for their leadership and their commitment to helping move this agenda forward. Thank you. Okay, got it. You've heard me say this before, and it's still true today. We've been incredibly busy this past year. And it's been a busy year for our partners as well. We're very appreciative of all the energy that people are putting into the area, and quite frankly, the belief that people have that this is our time here in Beaverton for creating truly healthy and vibrant downtown. We have put a lot of energy into a comprehensive parking management approach at a staff level and some Bureau presentations thus far, but you'll be hearing more about that next year as we really begin to actively enforce and manage both on-street parking and in our future parking garage. This is a good problem to have, to be talking about parking shortages in our downtown, and quite frankly, even to be hearing some of the complaints that we're hearing about parking, because it means that there's a lot of activity going on, that people want to be here. There's things that are causing people to come here perhaps they hadn't before. And as Mr. Kim knows, you create a place, an interesting destination, and people will come. It's happening at the La Scala, it's happening at Mr. BG's BG Food Cartel across the street, which is just a phenomenal success story in every stretch of the imagination. As you know, we've also seen completion of the Rise Central apartment buildings right outside our door. In fact, you can see them if you look out that window. Major accomplishment for a very tired old piece of property that the city had owned for quite a long time. Isn't it much more attractive today than that old gravelly surface parking lot that had been out there after the Westgate Theater was torn down? Last week we had the grand opening ceremony for that project, as well as a groundbreaking ceremony for the Hyatt House project. And you'll see more construction activity over the next couple of weeks. But very exciting for Beaverton Central to be adding a hotel into the mix of uses here and bringing, creating one more reason for people to come into the Beaverton Central area. We've continued many of our signature programs, our grant programs like storefront, tenant improvement, design and pre-development, and they continue to be very fruitful. We're seeing most of those projects that come through the door with an application actually moving ahead, and it's visible driving around, particularly the Old Town area. You can see how many storefronts have been transformed. And with the new restaurant activity, know that some of those restaurants have actually received a tenant improvement grant from us. Land acquisition continues to be a big part of our activity. This past year, we acquired two properties, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. And we hope to continue to acquire property this next fiscal year, because this is what sets us up for the future. This is how we begin to guide and help transform the downtown to be the place that we really want it to be. One quick comment I want to make to you regarding parking is that a couple of months back, our staff within the city put together a parking map to show visitors to downtown where public parking was located. And, you know, we're not to park as well. And right now, this is the most active link on the city's GIS system. So the word is out, people are utilizing it, and hopefully some of those issues we were dealing with a few months back can calm down a bit. As I mentioned, the Rise Central had its official grand opening last week. It's a 230-unit building with 15 affordable housing units. We worked with the Remboldts, the developers of the property, to buy down the affordability of those 15 units, and I'm happy to report that most of them are leased up, and in fact, they were some of the earliest units to lease up in the project. The project also contains about 5,000 square feet of ground floor commercial space. We know that the Remboldts are actively talking to a number of different restaurateurs as well as services businesses, so look forward to things happening this year as those spaces start to fill up. That was a $45 million investment, very significant investment in our community. The adjacent Hyatt House will be about a $25 million investment. It'll have 125 rooms and a destination restaurant on the ground floor. Now, Beer played a very important role with both of those projects. We helped pay for land acquisition, and we helped pay for investments through a development agreement to help those projects move forward. In the Old Town area, over the last several years, we have assisted 22 restaurants and 19 storefront businesses with our grant programs. That's pretty astounding, 19 storefronts. No wonder it looks quite a bit different today than it has in the past. This past year, however, we did 8 storefront grants for a total of $222,000, and these are matched by the private business. We put a cap of up to $25,000 into each building, and the owner must at least match that amount. We had 9 tenant improvement grants for $300,000. So we're really putting our dollars where our values are and trying to incent the kinds of changes that we know will make the difference we want to see here. I'd like to quickly mention one project that's actually not a Bureau project. It's the slide in the bottom left-hand corner, this sea green looking thing that from a distance probably looks kind of odd. But what it actually is a pilot project for a street seat here in Beaverton. This has been done in many cities around the country. It's pretty exciting. This is our first one here. Last Friday was the grand opening, and it is located on approximately Farmington and Main Street. If you haven't had a chance to get out and take a look at it, I encourage you to pop into Milk and Tea, get something to drink, and go sit outside for a little while. It's really, really cool. This was a wonderful collaborative effort with a number of different players to pull it off, and hopefully we'll be seeing more of that in the future. I'd like to highlight some of the private development activity that's occurred in the city over the past actually few years. Cedar Hills Crossing Shopping Center has undergone pretty significant redevelopment. They've currently completed 3 of 5 planned phases of redevelopment activity. And it's quite noticeable when you're there that they've very purposely sought to create a mixed-use shopping, entertainment, and eating and drinking place. And they brought in many, many new restaurants. It's pretty exciting to see the mix of tenants, local and national, that they have brought in, as well as, of course, the new Virginia Garcia Clinic, in the new bowling alley, with more to come. Beaverton Kaiser Permanente Clinic completed construction earlier this year. It is now open, a major state-of-the-art facility, and we're very proud to have it here because we think it has the potential to spur additional medical-related development in the vicinity. And of course, this past year, the Marriott Town Place Suites opened at the corner of Canyon and 217. That was the first hotel project to actually break ground and open, and we're very happy that within Beaverton, there are three additional hotels under construction. So we have the Hyatt House out here, as well as two additional hotels up on 158th in the Twin Oaks Business Park. Well, that's outside of our urban renewal area, but I think it's kind of a telling sign about the opportunity for that kind of a use in our community today. It's been many years since we'd seen a new hotel, and clearly between visitor and business need, there's a lot of demand for additional hotel rooms in our community. And the last thing I'll quickly mention under private projects in the city within the Bureau area is the new Basics Market that's under construction at 5th and Western. Totally cool concept. A gentleman named Chuck Eggert, who was the founder of Pacific Foods, sold his business, decided he wasn't ready to retire, wanted to do something interesting and significant. He bought the property. He's creating a dairy and a processing center, as well as a Basics Market and some educational classrooms. And the real goal is to help people get affordable, high-quality food that is grown or raised within the local area. So stay tuned. That'll be opening sometimes, I think, next fiscal year. As I mentioned earlier, we've been busy buying property this year. We've actually closed on two properties. We closed on the Bank of Building Beaverton property in April, and just a few weeks back, we closed on the Best HQ property on Beaver Dam. In addition, we have a third property under contract. It's called the Broadway at East Street property. It's a small parcel, about 8,000 square feet. This is one of those little opportunity sites that we're going to take a little time and figure out what best to do with it, but it might be a good place for an urban plaza. And we've been talking with Mr. Menke's staff about that. And as we know a little bit more about what property owner plans are in the vicinity, we'll be able to gauge and figure out how best to use that resource. We'll be closing on that sometime later this calendar year. We have issued an RFP for the Bank of Beaverton, or AKA Arthur Murray Building. We got right on that after the acquisition. Proposals are due in August. We'll hear more about that later this summer, early fall. Really excited to see what we can bring into the community. The goal is to sell the building to an investor and bring in a new food and beverage business in that building to really complement DeCarli's, Big's Chicken, and Ex Novo Brewing, and make that Watson First Avenue corridor our epicenter of Restaurant Row. We hope to be issuing an RFQ Plus, that's a technical term, RFQ Plus, this summer for the Beaver Dam property that we now own outside. As I said, we acquired the Best HQ property in May. We had previously acquired the Ludeman's property and assembled. That makes 2 acres total. That's a very attractive development offering, and pretty excited to see what the development community's ideas might be about that. It's also significant to note that this begins our kind of redevelopment energy moving south, trying to connect and bridge Old Town with the energy that we have going on here at Beaverton Central. Next year, we hope to continue property acquisition, and we'll be back talking to Bura in the next few months about what some of those opportunities might be. We think it's important to be buying property early and taking advantage of lower costs of property today than 5 or 10 years down the road, and then being able to sell that property to the private sector and encourage redevelopment activity that is consistent with our plan. So for next fiscal year, there are many projects that are continuing on and really reaching a pretty key point. The largest single item in the budget, as you well know, is Bureau's first public parking garage right outside the ramp, outside our building. This 355 space parking garage will be tied to the Patricia Research Center for the Arts project. But I want to be clear that the parking garage will be a Bureau project, and the PRCA, the Arts Center, will actually be a city-owned project. We're doing these in partnership. for both contributing resources equivalent to the cost of each of the facilities. And the parking garage will have a total cost of about $24 million all in, counting design and engineering and land and construction. We hope to see the Mary Ann breaking ground by Reach Community Development Corporation probably mid-year, mid-new fiscal year. They're pursuing funding from the state. That project will be our second kind of major affordable housing project in Old Town. It'll have 54 units total. And there'll be a real focus on creating family-oriented housing in that project. Much needed in the community, and the proximity to Beaverton High School, I think, makes perfect sense for that kind of an affordable housing project. We'll move forward with redevelopment of Bank of Beaverton and Beaver Dam sites. We're continuing to invest in transportation, such as the Western Avenue road improvements. They start construction next year, as well as new work on the Cedar Hills Westgate Dawson alignment right out here, and potential projects along Milliken Way and reconstruction of Canyon Road in partnership with ODOT. Those infrastructure improvements will really begin to shape the character and functionality of our core area. I can't underestimate how important they are. One thing we haven't talked a whole lot about at Ibira is the downtown design project. This is a really significant planning effort headed up by our planning team to come up with the long-term plan for how our downtown is going to grow and change, and very specifically focusing on how development will be regulated as part of the development code. So over the next year, council will be dealing with amendments to the code to implement that downtown design plan, and we at Bura will start to work on what we're calling the loop. This is the Watson Hall couplet, the north-south couplet, that really becomes a joiner between Old Town and the Beaverton Central area. You'll see in the budget there's some dollars to begin that design work. I think this is another one of those very transformational efforts that Bureau will be leading the charge on. And over time, it could be a multi-million dollar investment by the city to begin to create the streetscapes that we want to have in this community to create much more pedestrian orientation, better bike-ped connections, as well as, of course, automobile and transit connections in our community. We have another new apartment building starting construction next month in Old Town. The Rimbo families acquired a 2-acre parcel. The name of their project is The Verso. It's at 2nd and Lombard, right across the street from Mr. Kim's project. We're really excited to see that one moving forward. That's an all market rate apartment project. We do not have a direct investment in that from a Bureau standpoint. We have applied for some additional resources through an Environmental Protection Agency Brownfield grant, and hope to hear from that any day now. We believe we're going to be achieving $300,000. That's significant because that's something we probably are going to need and want to utilize out here with the Beaver Dam redevelopment. So it's great pursuing other resources that we can utilize for our projects. So just to quickly highlight the Bureau Public Parking Garage, here's a current rendering of our beautiful new parking garage with about 6,500 square feet of ground floor space. The top couple of floors of this garage we anticipate will be used by the Loft residential residents for their parking. As you know, we're displacing a significant amount of surface parking outside here today. That all is going to be replaced within this new parking structure, which ultimately will support the Arts Center, obviously the Loft residents, and other users here in the vicinity. This project will start construction in September. I'm keeping my fingers crossed about that one. The only little thing that might get in the way is we need to complete the private fundraising activity, but that work is going very, very well, and I think it's going to be real. the garage as well as the PRCA are through the design process, they're through the land use approval process, they're in for building and site development permits right now. So they are just about development ready, and next couple of months are going to be very, very busy for all staff managing those projects. And with that, I'd like to say thank you for letting me walk you through the last year or so of history with Bura. I want to say thank you to you, Budget Committee members and Bureau Board members, for your commitment and all of your hard work and good thoughts and ideas that have helped to propel this district forward. With that, I'll say it's our goal to keep trying to strike a really well-balanced and strategic agenda for the district, taking advantage of market forces that are out there, taking advantage of property owner interest that's out there, and buying property when that becomes something we can do as well. And look forward to answering any questions, but I think first Dave has a few things he wants to talk to you about in terms of the numbers.
Do that video.
Oh, I'm sorry, thank you. If you'll indulge me, I would like to take 3 minutes and 25 seconds to play a video for you. We played this at the City Budget Committee meeting last week, and so for the City Council members, I'm sorry, it's a redux, but for the other Bureau Budget Committee members, I think you'll find it interesting, and it's a good story to tell about the work that's happening here in Beaverton.
The city continues to evolve as exciting new development projects take shape throughout the city. Beaverton's Community Development Department is integral in supporting this growth. Working closely with developers and nonprofit organizations, we ensure projects benefit our community with a high quality of life that includes affordable housing, transportation, support for business, and places for people to gather.
One of the reasons we're doing all of these is to make this attractive for people to come and take jobs, new places to live, new places to eat, new places to shop, open space, modern buildings. I tell you, if you can't get excited about what's happening in downtown, you're doing something wrong.
Since we've been creating developments in communities, neighborhoods, the city for the last 25 years, we've been able to see a significant difference in the way that the city approaches development.
What we appreciated about our relationship with the staff at the City of Beaverton was that they seemed to understand, from a developer's perspective, our challenges. We know that we can go to the city and talk about potential issues and we're heard, which is really unique.
Beaverton's Community Development Department has worked hard to modernize its processes to support growth. Technology has been implemented to significantly improve communication, coordination, and efficiency.
Today we're using Bluebeam Review, which is a software that our customers are using, and it seems to work really well for both parties to understand how to take a set of documents, bring them in, and then review them.
In today's world, a lot of projects are information driven. The new technology has a win-win for everybody, for us, the customers, everybody involved.
Our staff are now able to look at a set of plans at the same time and actually see how each other are commenting and know how to coordinate better across the city.
That's the driver for why our businesses that we've built here have continued to grow, and frankly, investment that my company's been wanting to make in this community continues to be significant.
The City of Beaverton actively partners with developers and local nonprofits to provide a wide range of new housing opportunities.
Our first resident was a senior citizen. He moved into an affordable studio apartment, and he was so excited to be able to be on Max, to be close to his work, and to be in a new community with amenities.
It's amazing that the Beaverton Community Development Department is taking such an active role to really help reach, not only identify a great site, but go through the due diligence, help fund the project, provide the land. We are going to be doing a project here in Beaverton called the Marianne. We're talking about long-term affordability beyond 60 years in this case, so that folks aren't going to be displaced by a lot of the market rate units that we continue to see come online in our region.
Beaverton's Community Development Department is passionate about providing our community with the modern amenities that support a good quality of life while attracting and keeping a talented workforce. City of Beaverton Community Development. Teamwork, solutions, service.
ask Chair Snyder to go to the script that is available for all of you this evening, and it will actually then conduct a formal public hearing, and then if you would send it back to me, and I'll do the budget description.
So I'm opening this as a formal public hearing into the budget proposal for the coming year.
Thank you very much. Members of the Bureau Budget Committee, Dave Waffle, Assistant Finance Director, sitting in this evening for Treasurer Patrick O'Clair. He's not available to be with you tonight. With me also is Susan Cole, who's our new Assistant Finance Director. And of course, your official budget officer is the mayor of Beaverton. Thank you, Your Honor, for allowing us to present this. Just a quick overview of the budget. I use the term swollen because we're up to $30 million because we're showing all the construction funds for the parking garage. So this will be kind of, as we go back and chart this in the future, this will be a blip, and then there'll be some other blips along the way. There are three major sources of revenue for the agency. We will have $4.2 million in tax increment. That is growing every year. We have daylight loans from the City of Beaverton of $3.2 million. And then we have our letter of credit from Key Bank, which is also a special revenue bond. We would use the proceeds of that letter of credit this year towards the initial construction of the parking garage. We will draw that down. And then with the permission of the Bureau Board, we would take out that loan, sell new special revenue bonds, and so pay off what would be then $18 million of loan from that line of credit, and then determine as a group how much more do we want to set that up for future land acquisition or projects. That's a discussion to come. It's not in this budget, but that is something that'll be coming to the Bureau Board as we work in through this next fiscal year and we see the pace of construction for the parking garage. A couple of barometers. For those of you that were around when the Urban Renewal Agency was recreated, it was capped at $150 million of debt. And so far, we have only spent about 2%. And as we now move forward with the parking garage and actually spend that down, don't worry, you haven't gone too far in the cookie jar. We will still have 85% of that amount left for many, many years of activities on behalf of this community. As of where we're projecting next June 30th, you will still have $127 million in that jar. Your increment growth from taxes has grown 38% since the base year of 2011-12, and which means that the Urban Renewal District in assessed value has grown $293 million. That's really an incredible number. Our economist that advises us thinks this will be one of the better performing urban renewal districts in the entire state, and you're the group that gets to plan and operationalize the ways to use that money. We have major activities in the next year that Ms. Tweedy outlined, but these are all come from the five-year action plan of the agency, and the three that I would highlight would be obviously the Central Beaverton Parking Garage, at least $16 million to $24 million, additional land acquisition of $1.2 million, and about $1.5 million in development incentives. There are some changes in the budget. There are two amendments to discuss. But before we go into those amendments, I would just ask you to open your budget book to page 14, and we'll just briefly describe the funds of the of Bureau. There are currently three. There will be four with your approval. The three main funds are the Bureau General Fund. That's where the tax increment comes in. And as I said earlier, that's about $4.2 million. The expenditures of the general fund are going to generally disappear. They're going to come out of this fund and go to the Programs and Activities Fund. And I'll explain that amendment in a little bit. But most of the tenant improvements, storefront improvements, those development incentives will come over to a new fund. So when it's all done, the Bureau Administration General Fund shrinks by about $95,000. The key part of that general fund, though, is in the, on page 20 and 21. That's how Bureau pays for staff services of this fine group. It does it by an allocation of percentages of their salaries and benefits come back to the city's general fund, as well as some overhead charges. Previously, the Bureau was paying about 10% of their time, and we've bumped for Cadence and for Tyler, we bumped that to 25% out of recognition of how much time they spend on Bureau. I think yours is still getting a pretty good bargain. And then the next page on 20 and 23 are the transfers to the Bureau Debt Service Fund. These are the daylight loans, as we call them, where the agency can only make public improvements, buy property, build things with borrowed funds. It can't use tax increment dollars directly. So the workaround is that the city loans money to the Bureau, to its capital project fund. Another part of Bureau, the general fund, sends money to the debt service fund. The debt service fund, in that same day, returns it to the city's general fund. It's called the daylight loan. And we don't let the sun go down before those funds come back to the city. But there on page 22 and 23 is the history of the daylight loans from the city to the Bureau General Fund, or to Bureau. The next page is 24 and 25. We start into the capital project fund. That it receives money from the sale of property, and in this case it is the Arthur Murray or the former Bank of Beaverton building. As Ms. Tweedy said, we project to gain about $750,000 on the sale of that property once we get through our solicitation process. The rest of it, the rest of the resources are, again, the loan, the daylight loan, and then the line of credit that we would then finish drawing down this next year. The capital project fund has the big project on page 26, 27 is the parking garage. That's the number of $16 million gets us through the bulk of the fiscal year. We'll see how fast that money goes out. Page 28 and 29 we already have some commitments for finishing the purchase of some properties. There is funding of $500,000 for some future opportunities, and you will actually have a second amendment into your budget tonight that would bump that to $1 million for property acquisition, if you concur with that. And then the last project is the beginning of the parking pay stations equipment, designing and writing the specs locating it and finish writing the program, but this is the design of what the hardware would look like. So that's the capital project fund. The debt service fund, somehow this money has to get paid back to the city and back to Key Bank, and that's what the debt service fund does. It receives receives tax income in dollars from the Bureau General Fund that goes to debt service, and the debt service pays it back either to the city or to Key Bank, and that completes the that cycle. So that's the outline of the three funds and what is in them. And then let me just talk about the changes in the budget. The one is that you're going to have proposed in front of you amendment package one. This was in the packet that went to you. And it shifts a lot of the programs and services, development incentives, tenant improvements, so forth, from the Bureau General Fund to a new program activities fund. And it is done so in order not to affect the debt cap, also not to affect the interest earned on the money that is borrowed. It gives the agency the most flexibility to manage its programs. Really doesn't change the nature of the programs at all. It's just it's funding it from the left pocket instead of the right pocket. That's really all it is. It'll operate much like we have done with the Capital Projects Fund. It'll get money loan from the city's general fund to the capital project or to the programs and activities fund, and then on back through the debt service fund. It does add a daylight loan. I've already mentioned the parking pay stations, and then a change in the allocations for personnel services the staff. It is the development division manager, the senior development manager, the development manager in charge of parking programs, and then a new program that was approved that's funded half by Bureau and half by the city's general fund and its community development department another program coordinator working on issues of parking and property acquisition, community engagement. Just as the activities have grown, we need to increase our bench strength. And so that's what that additional position is. With that, that completes my presentation on the budget. When we get to the amendment, we can explain those.
Thank you. I'm going to assume there's no public testimony. Are there any questions or comments before we proceed and close out this portion of the hearing? No? Okay. So there are two known sets of amendments, as has been discussed, and I would like to entertain a motion to approve the amendments in amendment package number one.
First of all, we need a motion to approve the entire budget.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the entire budget? I'm messing up my order.
Yes.
So moved. Did you get that, Kelly? No. Second?
Yeah.
Discussion? All in favor, aye?
Nope.
No.
Now entertain the amendments.
Now we entertain the amendments.
Yes, please.
Thank you. My script is wrong here. Kirk Tyler. Okay. We have two amendments. Amendment packet number one is proposed by the city staff.
And amendment packet number one is the amendment that creates the program and activities fund, taking the development incentives, storefront improvements, et cetera, from the Bureau of the General Fund and shifting it over. The dollars remain the same, except there's another daylight loan in the process. But the activities remain essentially the same.
Okay. Mark Fagan has moved to approve the amendment.
Second. Anissa, a second to it. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, moving on to the second amendment, which is proposed by Councilor Sanssouci.
I'll just briefly explain. This amendment was also proposed at the City Budget Committee because Bureau is a component of the city's budget. We had to consider this amendment to the Bureau budget both at the City Budget Committee and at this budget committee. The City Budget Committee agreed with this amendment and incorporated it into the city's budget. The reason that I suggested this amendment is that our staff have continued to remind us that there is accelerating interest in the community in talking to the city about a city acquiring property. There are people contacting the city saying, hey, let's talk about this. Let's see what the opportunity is. And it just seemed to me that we should continue to send the signal that the city is prepared to acquire property in the Bureau area as a way to make sure that development activity in the Bureau area meets our overall goals as a urban redevelopment agency. So I move amendment action number two.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second over here. Any discussion?
Just, I would point out that the amendment packet two was on your table this evening, attached to amendment one, and it is in the amount of $500,000. It does involve the capital projects fund, the general fund, and the debt service fund, because that's the way it has to work for paying things with the borrowed funds. But it's $500,000, just expressed three ways.
Any other discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so are there any other discussion or amendments around the budget tonight?
I couldn't find in here, and I didn't know if it's under something else, our like storefront improvement program. Where is it listed? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want to make sure that tenant improvements and storefront are in that conversation.
It's in on page 19, and then Fund 901, Bureau General Fund.
On 901?
Mm-hmm. Towards the bottom, object code 516, business storefront improvement expenses. Oops, sorry.
Okay. I just think that that's really low.
And 506.
What we're trying to accomplish in Bureau, and we're putting large pumps of money into big programs that are really great, like food cart pot and some of the other things we've done. But a lot of the storefront improvement also improves the district with spending very little money. We're putting $500,000 into future growth of property, and we're not having money in this program we know is incredibly successful, and it was the same kind of gripe we had last year and it's even less this year. So maybe I'm standing alone in this, but that kind of storefront improvement money, $50,000 is just a lot.
I was just going to say, there's some money that's in the general fund budget as well, so this is just Bureau stuff. And if you look at what we've done over the years, we're basically spending, like you said, $500,000 a year on tenant and storefront improvements. And I have some things to say, but finish your...
I don't think we're arguing at the same point. I'm saying we're putting money away from building, buying future property. I don't want to put more money into investing in some of this low-hanging fruit, which is tenant improvement, because it does make a big deal for smaller businesses. We're creating this really like downtown core, and $20,000 to $30,000 for a small business to improve the storefront, bring in a lot of business, and then increases the value of the urban renewal. And it goes towards what we're trying to accomplish. And I don't think we spend that money out of the general fund, because I don't think we're talking. We don't have, this isn't in our city's general fund for this, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
How much is it?
We have 75. It's 75. I've got 75,000.
That's still, it's just 125. It's not a lot.
Well, there's also the line item 507, which is the tenant improvement portion of it.
Yeah, tenant improvements is usually for people renting a space versus trying to create it for the employee. Isn't that what we normally do with tenant improvement?
Yeah. I could just add a couple of comments. So, first of all, Thank you. I appreciate your perspective on this. You may recall in the last few years, we've come back at November supplemental and have requested additional funding for some of these programs. We have a package. We have the TI, Tenant Improvement Program. We have Storefront. Of course, we have pre-dev and design grants as well. And every year, they kind of ebb and flow a little bit in the dollar amount. I think as staff, we'd be happy to entertain an amendment if you had a proposed dollar amount for what you would like to see changed.
required by our Urban Charter to spend X amount percentage-wise per budget period on varying line items. This might be one. It's my recollection that we sort of allocated budget-wise early on. We were trying to propose and spend in those areas.
Yeah.
It ebbed and flowed, like you said.
The urban renewal plan adopted by the voters has broad categories of activities and particular percentage allocations that must be met by the end of the life of the urban renewal district. So as Dave mentioned earlier, Mr. Waffle mentioned earlier, we've only spent a very small amount of our resources, so that really isn't an obstacle or a requirement at this point.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Can you have Mark talk first?
Where was our subscription rate last year?
Excuse me, where was our what?
Subscription rate. How did we do with the money that was budgeted for both of those programs?
We've committed or will have committed all of the funds with the Storefront Improvement Program as well as the Tenant Improvement Program. We commit the funds, but they aren't necessarily spent in the same fiscal year because it takes time to get those projects up and running. So you may see a ending year balance, but that just means that it's carried over to next year when those funds will be spent. So we regularly, routinely commit all of the funds available to us, and then we kind of close the doors on the program.
So fully committed, but not spent.
Correct.
My recollection is when you ask for more, we said yes.
Well, I agree that we always spend what we ask, but that's not always the best way to budget. Is hope and pray that in the future we'll say yes to it, because we exclude the rest of the budget committee out of that decision, it becomes a council decision or peer decision. But I guess my question is, I mean, there's a stark decline in your request this year. Is it because we don't have enough interest, or we're trying to save money? I'm trying to like help you out. Are we trying to save money for the rent garage, or are we trying to do something else? Or we want to do less money in this category? Like, why $275,000 less?
Excellent question. When this budget was prepared, we were in what I would call a little bit of a contraction mode in some of the programs in order to digest the garage. That is the reason for the request. We're, as you know, working with bond counsel and our financial advisors to determine what the appropriate level of spending is in this next fiscal year and in subsequent fiscal years to make sure we have enough funds available to do those the capital projects we want, as well as the incentive programs. Because that work is ongoing, it seems to me a supplemental budget might be appropriate, although we're not so close now that we couldn't increase the amount of the Storefront program at this time and still be fine for the other expenditures we anticipate in the next few years.
Sheila, did
you have? Yeah, related to that, I mean, I agree that the expenditures that help balance the needs and interests of existing residents, like commercial and renters and homeowners, is so critical, and that's the area the Storefront improvements and tenant improvements helps do that. I also noticed the displacement mitigation strategy study and wondered if that was a general study done to look at residential and commercial displacement potential or what. I just want to echo that I do really support the investments in existing folks because they're being pushed out by all the success. I mean, by all the success. We're one of the 19 coolest suburbs in the country.
So the displacement mitigation study We have not scoped out that work yet, but it is for both residential as well as business displacement mitigation. We know that we've been wildly successful, and historically when urban renewal areas are wildly successful, that means there are winners and there are losers. And we want to make sure that we do our best to minimize the number of losers in our efforts. And so there are several activities that we are currently doing that we think combined with other new activities as well as a general understanding of what our efforts should look like will create a package, a suite of a toolkit, if you will, of activities that we can do to mitigate displacement in the urban renewal area as we move forward.
Lacey, did you have a specific amendment that you would like to propose?
I mean, I was thinking around $100,000, but if the rest of the committee wants to move towards more of the supplemental and asking for it there, I just think you want more. Well, I was trying to be cautious, but I was actually thinking $250,000 because that's what we've done in past years, and that seems like the appropriate place to start, because also that way staff can start working and not wait for 6 months and hope their money's there. I just think we're doing so well right now. It's low-hanging fruit. We're putting tons of money into a garage and big projects. It seems like a miss to not have this money available for small businesses.
So your specific proposed amendment is $250,000.
For the storefront improvement program?
However you want to package it between TI and store. I mean, I think I would be fine. Whatever, you guys kind of need that money, but I want that money in there. Like, you know, it's hard for me to tell you on the fly if you need it in TI or storefront. I think it could go in there and then it can be moved out.
I have one additional piece of input to why the numbers have evolved the way they did this fiscal year. Under 507, Tenant Improvement Program, you'll see the middle description of a catalytic restaurant conversion for projects, $200,000. So that's a nice jump up in terms of resources to really focus on restaurants. So there's
one project, correct?
Yeah, or one or two. Mm-hmm.
Is there any more discussion on this? Yes.
Not on this. I have another question. Two naive questions, being new here. I notice that you have beginning working capital or reserve every year. What methodology do you use to establish that number?
We our budget process begins in January. By about the middle of March, we meet with all the departments, ask them where they expect to be at June 30th, and ask them to make an educated guess about them. What would we have unspent at the end of the year, which would, you know, give us our estimate of the ending fund balance, and that becomes then the beginning fund balance estimate for the next year, and we historically modify that in the fall through the city's supplemental budget process as we get an actual number once the books are closed.
Okay. Second, is really naive. I know other projects are happening. For example, there's a library renovation that might happen somewhere in the future to draw more people sort of to the center of Beaverton. Could that be part of a Bureau project or not?
I would offer that might be difficult to do in that there is a restriction in the kind of the basic concepts of the Urban Renewal Agency about not spending money on public facilities. Okay. The parking garage specifically was called out as not in that definition. I would pass that over if necessary to Mr. Livingston, but there's that general restriction on public facilities. So, for example, we never contemplated building the police station out of urban renewal funds.
Yeah, I don't know what the right number is, but I would have absolutely no trouble with an increase in the allocation for storefront improvement expense.
The staff told me they'd like 100 NTI and 150 storefront if they're going to go with it.
Those sound like awesome numbers.
So if we have a suggestion for a third amendment, it would follow in format amendment package 2, in that there would be, we would increase a loan from the city's general fund. It would come to the programs and the new programs and activities fund. The Bureau General Fund would push that if it was it number 250,000? $250,000 from contingency to Bureau debt service, and then the third leg of the stool would be from the back to the city of Beaverton. So it would follow that same format as amendment package 2 for $250,000.
Sounds wonky. I'm happy to do that.
I wanted to get that in the record because your Bureau Treasurer will expect me to.
So we have a proposed amendment package 3, as explained very nicely by Jay Waffle. Any more discussion on that package? Yes.
And this one, then we'll have a vote.
Yes.
Yeah, I do have a question.
Looking at this, so right now we have $295,000 for the tenant improvement and just $50,000 for the storefront improvement. And what were the suggested amounts to change it to
$150,000 to TI, and $150,000 to storefront.
Okay. So basically, we're going to reduce the numbers between the two and just allocate them a little differently, is the suggestion? Oh, adding more. So we're going to go to, wait, so we're going to go from just over $300,000 to another $500,000. So we're going to spend allocate $550,000 for these two items. That's what we're talking about doing.
So tenant improvement program would go from $295,000 to $395,000.
Okay.
And business storefront improvement would go from $50,000 to $200,000.
So we're closer to $600,000. Okay. The one thing that is really hard for me with this type of funding is, yes, we want to encourage more people to come in and do things. My concern is, in the long term, that we're sticking our head in the sand and we're not really looking at trying to make our downtown area not only a fun place, but a safe place. To me, we have a responsibility to make sure that what we build in the future is not going to be falling on people or killing them. So it was hard for me when we first started to be kind of a dilemma of, okay, we make things look better, but we're encouraging people to come to unsafe places, and we're not doing anything to encourage them to make them safe. But in talking about it, I could see that, especially with the storefront and the tenant, it's part of buildings, and it just made it not workable to try to fix the building as you're also making it more beautiful or more interesting. So I was going along with it for the first few years when we were at about the $200,000 per year amount, but now we're moving up to over $500,000 to $600,000 a year to encourage people to come, and we still have no long-term plan to figure out how to encourage people to build safe places for people to come. And I promise I will do more work. I know I talk about this a lot. I don't know what the answers are. It's really hard, but damn it, we've got to figure out how to get ready. We have a responsibility in government to make sure that we take care of the risks that we know that we're facing. And I hope I can get some more information and bring something back different. This is more of a policy decision at the council level than this group, but I just wanted to air it, and just because I just feel like we've got to someday pull our head out of the sand and figure out what we're going to do to make our city safe.
Comments? Responses?
Are we talking like earthquake retrofitting
yes.
here?
Yes. That we've got somewhere between a 30% about a 1/3 chance that quake's going to happen in the next 50 years. It makes it hard because it could be tomorrow. It could be 100 years from now, you don't know. But again, the odds are high enough that we, to me, it's something that we need to be looking at, especially when we're talking about construction that we expect to last for 50 to 100 years.
Any more discussion?
Yes.
So is, in your opinion, does staff, are you aware of any professional design assistance that would be meaningful and helpful? I mean, you have a little bit for displacement because that's a risk. Is there something that we could do just to move forward? I mean, maybe it would be a friendly amendment to spend just $25,000 or $50,000 less on improvements to do a study to say what are some of the ways small businesses could mitigate. I don't know that there is. I mean, I guess, I don't know if you've already thought about that.
If I may suggest, this is a topic that we have discussed on several different occasions. What I would suggest is we step back and frame it from more of a policy standpoint as opposed to a budget line item issue. I think it's very complex. I think there's different ways it could be approached, and it probably makes sense for staff to do some staff work and then come back to council and potentially bureau and have a policy-oriented conversation about what the city believes its role should be in addressing this issue. But thank you for your comment, though.
Any other comments? We're still reviewing proposed amendment 3. Okay, then I'll call a vote on this.
Who seconded?
Oh,
seconded.
Sorry. There is that in local theaters because I can't follow the script. I couldn't even follow what it was written for. So now, all those in favor of proposed budget amendment 3, aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
Did you get that, Kelly?
Yes.
Okay. So if I'm reading the script right, we are now finished with the budget presentation. We've made our decisions, and I will take the motion to approve the entire budget.
You have a motion, you just need a vote.
Do I have a seconder?
You have a motion by Mayor Doyle, seconded by Mr. Kim.
As amended with all three amendments.
That's correct.
To approve the budget.
Yep.
Okay. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, we have a budget. Thank you.
I would like to note that I think, Tyler helped me out here, but this is the first year that we have had 18
That's
budget
correct.
Committee members around the table. Congratulate yourself. We've never had 18 members all here. When the governing body was created with 6 plus 3 citizens was 9, and then we went to form the first budget committee, and the budget law says thou shalt have an equal number of citizens. We said, oh my goodness, that's 18 people. But we've never had all 18, so thank you.
Chair Snyder, if I may make one last comment. Thank you all for your work here this evening. And I just wanted you to know that this may be the last time you see Mr. Dave Waffle sitting in this capacity before the budget committee. Dave is in the process of ratcheting down, and next year is going to be ratcheting down a bit more. And Susan has been hired to be to take on many of the responsibilities that Dave has been shepherding these last several years. So I personally want to thank Dave for all of his help and his guidance. He's been a wonderful teacher and mentor to me coming into Beaverton, and he's really just a stellar public professional in every sense of the word. So thank you, Dave, for all your years of commitment to Beaverton.
Still happy your cell phone was on.
I was going to turn that in. I've been involved in city budgets for 45 years, so I think I've seen a few. Thank you.
Any other comments before we adjourn? Any other business that anyone wants to bring up? Okay, with that, we are officially adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, so good. Thank you.